In this lecture, we're going to look at the Common Agricultural Policy, or CAP for short. The CAP is an EU-wide measure designed to ensure a stable market in the area of agriculture, ensure a fair standard of living for farmers, with reasonable prices to consumers. In basic terms, it aims to increase agricultural productivity and guarantee supplies. Only certain products are subject to the CAP. They were originally listed in Annex 1 of the Treaty of Rome, as extended by Regulation 827 of 1968, or certain other goods not listed in the Annex, which were the so-called non-Annex 1 goods. Because there have been a number of regulations over the years dealing with CAP goods, a new regulation, 1234 of 2007, has repealed most of them, including 827 of 1968. One of the aims of the new regulation was to amalgamate all the different rules into one place, as well as providing for simplifications to the current CAP system. In this lecture, we'll still refer to the goods as Annex 1 and non-Annex 1 goods. Goods in Annex 1 include live animals, dairy produce, cereals, and vegetables, etc. The non-Annex 1 goods include goods derived from the products listed in Annex 1. For example, chocolate containing cocoa, spaghetti, biscuits, and soups, etc. The CAP ensures that a system of common prices is maintained in the EU, which helps to protect community producers from price fluctuations across the world. These price fluctuations are caused by factors such as soil quality, the weather, and water levels, etc. If world prices are lower than community prices, for instance, the price of corn from a farmer in the EU is £10, which would cost £8 if bought from a non-EU farmer, then a duty will be levied to ensure that the price of this imported product is comparable to community prices. This protects EU producers. And if we think about it logically, when it is winter here and agricultural produce may not be so plentiful, it will be summer somewhere around the world where there may be plenty of produce. The CAP makes sure that we don't have lots of imports flooding in from these third countries that put our own EU farmers at risk of losing their living. So, we have seen that the aim of the CAP is to put a levy on imported products to safeguard EU producers. But what types of duties might be imposed? The first ones are specific duties. We have already seen in an earlier lecture that this means the charge is based on a measure of the imported product, such as the weight of the product. Imagine that you are importing chickens. If the amount of duty was based on the number of chickens that you brought in, then every chicken would be subject to the same levy. If you bring in a chicken weighing 2 kilograms, and you have also managed to feed up another chicken and this has reached 5 kilograms, clearly more meat is available on the 5 kilogram chicken. Therefore, the type of specific duty would probably be based on the weight of the product. The heavier the chicken, the more duty you pay. Ad valorem duties can also be imposed, which we have also seen already. We know that these are calculated as a percentage of the value of the product. Remember that any of these duties could be applied to an import, as could a combination of them. Some processed products, for example biscuits, are subject to the max duty. Where this is applicable, it will be indicated in the tariff. The importer can effectively choose to calculate his duties in two different ways. The importer has the option of paying a combination of specific and ad valorem duty, or a usually higher ad valorem duty plus a usually lower specific customs duty dependent on the sugar or flour content of the product. The importer will work out the duty both ways and choose whichever produces the lowest result. For example, a product may be liable to duty of 10% plus €67 per 100 kilograms. The alternative calculation for the product is based on a higher percentage of 22.4% plus a lower €8.7 per 100 kilograms. The importer will calculate duties in both ways and pick the lower result. Some products can be subject to a min charge. Typically, this applies to fruit and vegetables. An amount of duty is shown in the tariff based on the weight of the product. For example, €10 per 100 kilogram net of product. The importer will calculate the duty under this method. For example, if we have imported 100 kilograms, we will multiply this by €10 and convert it to sterling. We'll imagine it gives us approximately £6 worth of duty. This is the minimum amount of duty that will be paid on the product. The tariff will also show an ad valorem percentage, for instance, 17.3%. The importer would also calculate the duty based on this percentage. Let's imagine that the value of the consignment is £45. At 17.3%, this would give us duty of £7.79. As the amount of duty based on the percentage is higher than the minimum, we have to pay duty of £7.79. However, what would happen if the value of our consignment goes down? Let's imagine it goes down to £30. Calculating the duty on this would give us £5.19, which is less than the minimum that we calculated based on the weight of the product. In this case, the minimum amount of £6 will have to be paid by the importer. Essentially, these minimums are a way of making sure that if cheap produce is imported into the EU, then there is still a protective levy in place to protect EU producers. Another type of duty is the countervailing duty. This charge is similar in some respects to anti-dumping duty. This is because it is usually imposed at short notice where protection of EU-produced goods is required. It applies especially to fresh fruit and vegetables coming from certain countries at certain times of the year. The duty could be ad valorem or specific or a combination. The final type of charge that may be imposed is a safeguard. These can also be imposed at short notice on individual consignments, and it is usually imposed where the value of the consignment is low and therefore presents a risk to EU producers. Safeguard charges could be based as a percentage of the value of the goods, or could be a specific charge based on weight, volume, etc., or could be a combination of the two. Now we have had a look at duties that can apply in the agricultural sector, we need to look at other measures designed to protect our EU producers. One of these is CAP licensing. Many agricultural products cannot be imported without a license. The Rural Payments Agency, or RPA for short, issues these licenses. Some licenses may have quantitative restrictions attached to them. For example, if you want to import 200 kilograms of sausages, this might be the maximum number you can import. Usually, security is required for the number you're going to import, and this will be stated in the relevant legislation. Let's say that you need to provide €20 per 100 kilograms. If you don't import the total on your license, your security will be lost. Some licenses are only valid for a specified period of time. We'll imagine this license only lasts for 150 days. Licenses are electronic, and paper licenses will only be issued if the importer needs to import into another member state. These electronic licenses will be transmitted direct to Customs Chief System. To use the license, the importer imports his products, for example, 150 kilos of sausages, completes his C88 declaration, and in box 44 of the C88, he puts his RPA registration number and license number. The registration and license number will then be keyed into Chief, and the electronic license will automatically draw down the quantity of sausages that have been imported. These amounts are called attributions. So, what about exports of agricultural products? Exports are covered in Regulations 612 of 2009 and 376 of 2008. Under the new export scheme, which is covered in a separate lecture, most exports are now declared electronically. Imagine that we are exporting cheese from the UK. As well as completing our electronic export declaration on a C88, we need to check if there are any other procedures that need to be complied with. The first thing we need to check is whether our products need an export license. These again are controlled and issued by the RPA and are electronic. Some agricultural goods may be liable to export levies at the time of export or other CAP charges. And other goods may qualify for export refunds where they leave the customs territory within 60 days of completion of the export declaration. The RPA holds details of export refunds that are available. If CAP charges are due, then security in the form of a guarantee is usually required. Advance Fixing Certificates, or AFCs, are part of the licensing system. They are an optional way in which an exporter can fix the rates of CAP levies applicable on export or the rate of any CAP refund that applies in advance. This is done by application for an AFC license. The license will show the rates that are set. The AFC can be used instead of export licenses, and security will be asked for at the time of granting. When goods are exported, the quantity is recorded on the reverse of the AFC. These recordings are like those on our import licenses and are again referred to as attributions. AFCs can be used where goods are exported from other member states. To prove that the goods were exported, a T5 copy of the C88 must be presented as well as the normal export documents. Security will only be released for the quantity of goods exported from the other member state on receipt of that stamped T5 by the Customs Office of Export. We'll now look at simplified procedures available to an exporter of agricultural goods. One of these is the Local Clearance Procedure, or LCP for short. The idea behind LCP is that customs carry out control checks on exported goods inland. They do this by approving an exporter's premises. If customs wants to examine or sample goods, this will usually be done at the approved premises as opposed to the export port or airport. Export refunds can be paid as soon as the export declaration has been made, provided a guarantee has been given. Some refunds can be paid before the export formalities have been completed. This is called pre-financing. This is where goods are placed in a customs warehouse, which has been approved for pre-financing. Whilst in the warehouse, only usual forms of handling can be carried out on the goods, as the goods are liable to normal customs warehousing rules. The usual time limit for goods to remain in the warehouse before being exported is 6 months. If you want a reminder of what a customs warehouse is, then replay the lecture on this afterwards. Have a go at the following examples to test what you've learnt. On the screen are a number of sentences with missing words. You need to type in the missing word in each blank. Once you have entered all of your words, press the Enter key. The specific duty is calculated as a measure of goods, for example, the weight of a product. Ad valorem duties are based on a percentage of the value of the goods. Some duties are subject to a max. The importer can choose whichever calculation produces the lowest result. Countervailing duties are like anti-dumping duties and are imposed at short notice. The Rural Payments Agency governs the issue of CAP import licenses. Advance fixing certificates allow an exporter to fix the amount of export refund in advance. Continuing with our examples, have a go at the following calculation. The tariff shows the following for a product: 18.9%, min 20 euros per 100 kilogram net of product, and there is 1.5 euros to the pound. You import 300 kilograms and the value of the consignment is 200 pounds. You need to calculate the duty due on the consignment. The correct answer is 40 pounds. If we take 18.9% and times it by the value of the consignment, we arrive at a duty amount of £37.80. We need to check that this is above the minimum based on the weight of the product. If we take 20 euros and times this by 3, we have 60 euros on the consignment. Converting this to sterling gives us £40. This is the minimum duty, which is more than we arrived at using the percentage. Therefore, £40 is due.